The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, Made Advice Show for the Modern Era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? I'm your middlest brother, Travis, big dog, Wolf Wolf McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? It's me, youngest brother, Griffin McElroy. Come fly away with us.
Defying. Fly away with us. We're defying gravity here. On
and defying the laws of God.
Defying.
Those two go hand in hand. Gravity's God's number one law. He said, go towards the big stuff.
Do you ever think about how easy it was to make scientific discoveries back in the day? Because like everybody must have noticed that like when you let go of something, it fell down. And Isaac Newton was just the person who's like, and that's always going to happen.
He said, he said, you know how when you drop a bowl or a fork or an apple or anything, it goes down. That's mine, and it's called gravity.
It would be. I would love to be there the day that dude was like, someone dropped something. He's like, oop, you Newtoned it. Like, what? Like, yeah, you Newtoned it.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, I call it Newtoning.
When you know how stuff goes from down, up to down? I discovered that.
Yeah, no, you didn't discover it. We all know that.
No. You don't understand. As far as school children are concerned, I sat under a tree and an apple fell on my head. And I said, well, that sucks, but it will always happen. And that's mine now.
Anyway.
Anytime you guys use gravity, I get 5 cents.
Do you think when he was trying to explain inertia to people, they tried to stop him and he's like, you're not getting it.
You're not going to stop. You don't understand.
Now, when
Griffin, you didn't even fucking laugh. I'm going to do it again.
Okay, sure.
Can you imagine when he was trying to explain inertia to people and just as he got going, they tried to stop him?
No, it didn't give me that time either, man. I'm so sorry.
Great, Justin. I loved it.
The first time it would have ripped my ass up.
It was good if you've been listening.
Were we going to talk about? We could talk about.
Wicked fever is sweeping the nation. We mentioned this on Clubhouse. If you're not watching Macro Family Clubhouse, you should. Every Tuesday at 12 Eastern. But there, I don't know if you all have noticed, but the amount of wicked things, are you hypersensitive to the amount of wicked things the way we're hypersensitive in my household? Because I don't know how Ariana Grande is doing it. She's everywhere.
Yeah.
I feel like I have seen that woman have teary reunions with every high school teacher she ever had.
Yeah.
She's
been in high school for 27 years, though.
That's true. I saw her reading a lengthy letter that she wrote about how Tower of Terror should not be converted into a Guardians theme ride. She wrote, Ariana Grande, like, recently wrote a letter to the Disney company imploring them to not change the theming
and she's
of the Hollywood Tower of Terror.
Yeah, for sure.
In our household, Justin, Wizard of Oz is Teresa's favorite movie, and she has read because she's familiar with the musical as well. But I would say it's not seen as maybe it's a little non-canonical for Teresa.
Okay.
Especially the movie form. So we have passively, actively avoided it.
But imagine an alternate reality where Wicked was her whole shit. Mm. And she was two people, that were 6 and 10, okay?
Wow, okay, and, wait, this is getting hard to imagine. My wife has two people who are 6 and 10
right.
who love Wicked.
Yes.
Is it like a trench coat situation where I don't know she's 2, 6
okay,
and 10?
Okay, it's not your wife. It's just, it's my, imagine if Teresa was obsessed with Wicked, and then all of a sudden, every story
I have
ever
two kids
into,
in my house, Justin. You could have just said, imagine your two kids
we
are
all
obsessed
got two
with Wicked.
Kids.
I don't know why you had to bisect my wife.
Yesterday, I went into CVS and I found out they're called Barrett's. Is that right, Travis? Barrett's. Not berets. Those are the hats. I went and got some Barrett's. And as I was checking out, the lady at CVS said, I feel so guilty. I still haven't seen it. It's like, ma'am, I swear to God, it's not out yet. It's just been advertised to you so much, and there's so many Wicked things available.
I was
right
also
now.
Surprised to discover that. I thought it came out like a month ago.
Yeah, no, it's not here yet.
I've lost all track of time, though, when it comes to movies coming out, because I swear Wild Robot came out in theaters 8 different times.
I'm going to see Wild Robot. I don't need to cry. You see one, you're like, oh, I'm crying at that one.
Yeah.
Look at that robot.
Anytime there's a robot acting with empathy and compassion, they're somewhere in Rim, they're like, we haven't melted the Maguire Brothers' hearts in a while. We need to get them going.
I can barely read Murderbot Chronicles, and that bot murders people.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a sweet robot. I remember we took Henry C. Wild Robot and got emotional during it. And it was like watching the light come on of like, what the fuck is happening? Why does the movie make me sad? Movie make no. I wet? No way. That can't possibly be right.
I had in the car this week, Cooper from the back seat said, Dad, you want to know something weird? Sometimes when I watch people get sad, I get sad too. And I thought, oh, thank God. Okay, good. All right, good. That's a really good start for me as a parent. That's going to make my job a whole lot easier.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I honestly can't have had some doubts.
Yeah, I've definitely been hurt in front of her and not gotten a ton of empathy.
She's in learning mode all of a sudden. It's like, whoa, you're really paying attention very closely.
Are you going to see the movie, Justin?
You think maybe I'm having a laugh. You think maybe I'm exaggerating?
No.
Come on in my office for a second, guys.
Okay.
Come on into my office. Step inside my office for a
second. P.U., what's that smell?
It's everywhere.
I left all my special cheese sandwiches hidden around here. Listen, let's head on over to Broadway Direct. Let's check out a guide to all the Wicked movie merchandise, sweets, and treats, and I guarantee you this isn't even a part of it, right? So, obviously, Ariana Grande is in her line, R.E.M.,
right.
Very confusing still. Thank you, Ariana. Is going to be doing a beauty line at Ulta. Gotta do it.
Gotta get there's that.
A, when Lele, did people start doing the X in the middle of like a crossover? Because it just looks like it's multiplied by Wicked Elphaba makeup set.
A wide range of hair bands from Lele. Sad doing. The Forever 21 has got some fake jerseys, some shoes. Look at this. Aldo's doing some shoes.
Thanks.
Target has a collab. There's Target's collab. Oh, over at H&M. Yeah, there's definitely a collab there.
When Elphaba and Galinda are at Wicked University, how often do they go to sports team games?
They love sports over there. It's huge. The travel kit. Oh, there's an OPI kit with Wicked. There's a frigging New York Hilton Midtown is about Wicked. There's Wicked rooms. Starbucks has special drinks and cups. There's Betty Crocker Wicked Mixed Reveal Vanilla Cookie Dough Pop Kit.
Damn, fucking time out, Betty Crocker. You made a Wicked slime bag cupcake.
It's rough, right?
It's tough for us.
It's rough for us because if they get either one, they're mad. There's a Mixed to Reveal cupcake kit as well, y'all. A line of Wicked cocktails straight from Oz.
Huh.
Favorite cocktails courier. Yeah, there's great, guys, great value themed Wicked. Wicked themed mac and cheese that changes pink or green. That's Walmart brand.
Let me tell you, as a parent of two small children,
I've never seen this.
The idea of one, you don't know what color your mac and cheese is going to be. Is it going to be pink or green? And then that it's not yellow.
Yeah, huge problem.
Sad. It doesn't matter if it's pink or green or chartreuse.
And it's,
if it's not yellow, my child's not going to eat it.
There's an acceptable color spectrum that mac and cheese is allowed to occupy. And it's limited.
Walmart manufactured generic, great value, Wicked themed Rice Krispie treats. There's a Wicked Hollywood and Dine over at Universal Studios. There's Ding Din Tai Fung is offering a unique Wicked themed dining experience on Broadway with vegan noodles and sesame sauce and a nice cucumber salad. That's not even at CVS. They have two different barrettes.
So, and you've bought colors. All this? You've had to buy all of this
stuff?
Well, because
my kids, you would think my kids would either be Galinda or Elphaba, but they're not.
Both inside of us are two wolves.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's which one do you teach to defy gravity? That's the question.
Only one is allowed to. The other one gets eaten.
I would like everyone to please stop. I've put this message on several podcasts at this point, hoping it gets to the right people. I worry, guys, sometimes I am a little bit worried that a week before the movie comes out is a bad time to ask them to stop making things about the movie.
Sure.
I understand. I worry it may even be too late now at this point.
What I'd like to picture is like some, you know, like 1940s Louis B. Mayer style, like studio bigwig, just hearing this, then running over and grabbing a big lever and switching it to off as all of the merchandise backs up behind it. And he's like, oh, my God, Justin, I'm so sorry. I had no idea.
The tubes are exploding.
I inconvenienced one Appalachian man.
I had no idea. Shut it down.
This is an advice show. I'd love to help our listeners with some of their questions, if that would be okay by you.
I would like that.
I would love that, actually. Yeah. I think that would make us more popular. It'd make us more popular.
Hey, all right. You want to talk about something else, Wicked? How dare you?
I'm so sorry. Justin. Movies. No, I didn't
they
mean
split
to.
Split it into two movies.
What?
Would you guys like to see a movie with a bunch of kick-ass songs and then 2 hours that's not that? Because that's what's on offer at theaters this holiday season's. The first one's going to have a lot of classic songs you love. And the second one? You're probably going to have to go see it, huh? You already saw the first half with all the songs you like.
Yeah.
Wait till the trailers start popping off for the second. They're going to be like, conclude the epic. Like there's no songs in these trailers. Remember all the fun you had.
You're locked in. One.
You're all right. It's too late. I am by no means a good singer, but I really enjoy singing. And I'm almost always doing it when I'm in my car or apartment. Nothing feels better than belting along to Chapel Roan in the solitude of the apartment I live in alone. However, I was recently speaking with my very kind older neighbor who lives in the apartment above me, and she told me that I have a beautiful singing voice and that she, quote, enjoys hearing it. I was perhaps foolishly under the impression that I couldn't be heard, but now I know that this isn't the case. Is packing my bags and moving away enough to cure my shame, or do I need to go into witness protection? This is from Can't Hit the High Notes in Columbus, Ohio.
Now, I'm interested to see you, my brothers.
Yeah.
How you react to if you were in this position.
Which side?
You're in the position of you live in an apartment, you've been singing along, belting to some of your favorite,
absolutely,
the Wicked soundtrack.
Absolutely.
And then your neighbor's like, you have a beautiful singing voice and I love hearing you sing.
Here is the problem.
Go ahead.
You know, Griffin, if you have a good take.
I'm trying to figure out how to say this. I bought a house specifically to never have to deal with this scenario, and I understand that that's a privileged position to be in, but it does feel unfair to even make me have to think about this. Even if it's not me in this situation, I spent a lot of money.
I just want to, Griffin, I just want to know if you're flattered or embarrassed. I didn't want to take it to this existential. I can't even put myself in that place.
I'm just saying I recognize I'm very lucky to be in the position I am in, but I'm going to have to sit on that luck and rest on it and say I can't to even imagine the scenario. Stirs within me an anxiety that I just don't think I'm up. I guess I'm saying I don't think I'm up to this one.
Okay,
I
can still remember a life before, Griffin. And what I would say is My mental calculations went thusly. Well, she says she likes it, so I guess I should keep serving it up. But then I thought, if she didn't like it, if I didn't like it, and I was her, she just told me exactly the way that I would tell somebody. If I could hear somebody and I did not enjoy it, I would tell them that I liked it and that I heard it and that I liked it. And I'll let them kind of figure it out from there. But that is the most I would ever say to somebody. So I don't know, legitimately don't know if you should keep singing or if they will be like weirded out.
Just to be clear, you're on my page. You're also saying like, I don't know, man, this one too hard is basically what you're doing also.
I think, Justin, what you are ignoring is, question asker, what you've got here is a win-win scenario for you. Because if they were saying this in a passive-aggressive way to make you feel bad about singing, just keep singing. And if they like your singing voice sincerely, just keep singing.
They weren't doing it in a passive-aggressive way. They were doing it in a way to say, you probably don't want me to hear you sing.
I know. They're saying, know they are saying, I know.
It. You should know, I know. And it's not that I like it, and it's not that I don't like it.
Yeah.
But you have to know that I know.
Yeah. You wake up with a note in your pocket with a red handprint, and it says, I know.
I know. You had all the clues.
Just start every song before you sing with, and hey, this one goes out to Dolores Upstairs. H-O-T.
But her name is Rebecca.
Well, yeah, that's how she knows.
You don't even know your neighbor's name, and they're the asshole. That's interesting.
That's twisted.
You don't have to move. She likes it. If someone said this to me, I've heard you're singing a beautiful voice, and I love it. There would be a couple days where I would be in my head, self-conscious. I'd go to sing something like, huh. But then I would just keep thinking like, no, this is for them. They love this. This is getting them through the day. I'm performing. This is a service.
Yeah, but the way you would react to a situation is not necessarily helpful to the listener. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm a unique and special being.
We all are. It sounds like maybe you have a very kind older neighbor. So the demographic here is important because I think that maybe sometimes they hear you singing from downstairs and they're like, oh, hell yeah, I'm literally doing nothing else. I got nothing going on right now to entertain me. I watched all my shows because it's all I do all day is watch my shows. I hear, what is this I hear? Free music? That's where their mind goes. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. This is free
that
music,
generation.
Baby.
Oh, Griffin, that's such a good point. That generation loves to get stuff for free.
Yeah.
They are wild about
especially
it.
Especially music. They don't have to go to the Nickelodeon to hear someone, you know, toodle doodle on the ivories. They're getting singing for free?
Free?
I would also point out, they just say older neighbor. For all we know, they're like in their 40s and 50s. They were getting it on Napster for free. And they're like, I miss Napster. Now I've got downstairs stir who's just like singing me all the hits.
Now I'm taking it. Now they're interrupting my Napster. They're loud singing. How about another question?
Please.
I'm a middle school teacher, and one of my students dressed up as Frodo Baggins for Favorite Book Character Day during Spirit Week.
Very
enthusiastically and complimented his outfit. He told me that his mom made it for him. His mom, who teaches at the same school, came up to me later to ask if I wanted a cloak like her son's since I liked his so much. I said yes because I assumed she was joking, but then the day before Halloween, I came in and she'd actually made me a cloak and left it on my desk. I texted her, thank you, obviously, but I feel like I should be making something for her in return, maybe a baked good or a scarf or something. Brothers, how do I thank my coworker for this very cool and generous gift that's from quote confusion?
I think that as we have gotten older and our audience has transitioned to, just the other side of the hump, maybe, of life. Let's put it that way. We get a lot more questions.
What the fuck?
They're on their way out. I'm saying our audience is on the way out.
What the fuck?
Our audience is on the way out. They're getting older.
If you could see Justin's response to the sentence that was just said on this show.
As they transition towards death.
As a basis for what?
We get a lot more questions about how to make adults. How to make friends as adults.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, this is a perfect example of, like, overthinking it.
Yeah, it's classic.
A child, like, if another child gave a gift to a child because they said they liked something, they're best friends now.
Yeah, this person wants to be your best friend. That's awesome.
They made you a Frodo Baggins cloak.
You got
it. They
Go okay, off, King. Go off, King.
No. This is the problem with being invited. This is the problem with being invited with a little peephole into other people's lives, isn't it? Because I get one little peek and I start thinking I know the whole deal. So can we accept that I'm doing that right now and I'm the bad guy?
Okay. I don't know why I have to accept that you're a bad guy.
Well, she loves it. And the thing is, she wants to get with you. She's looking for a new dad for little Frodo. And she's hoping that you can be that, like, inspiring new dad or mom or parent. I think this mom is looking for a new parent for little Frodo. That's why I'm saying.
To replace
like,
her?
No, Griff. No. Like after I'm by picking
parent,
up this cloak.
Additive parent.
Okay.
Picking up this cloak. You swear an oath that after I've left this plane, you will care for my son, for little Frodo.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying that they want to marry you and kiss you and have lots of babies with you.
So many fucking huge.
So there's two options based on mine and Justin's interpretation.
If you roll back the tape and look at the sort of pre-roll that I put on that, I'm unimpeachable. Like, you cannot get me for anything I just said because I contextualized it.
So you set up a no-no naughty zone where you could say whatever you wanted. And
yeah, say whatever I wanted. Yeah, and I said, like, here he goes again. You know what I mean? Like, I set it up.
The nasty man cometh.
The nasty man's back on his broom.
Just to go back over our helpful advice that we've given, from my standpoint, I said, you're reading too much into this. They just want to be friends. And from Justin's standpoint, you're actually not reading into this enough.
Yeah. Can I put my standpoint?
Comedy Rolf knows.
Can I put my standpoint out there? Limbus bread. You bake them some limbus bread, and you give it to them in a little cloth, and you unfold it, and you say, yes, one bite is enough to fill the stomach of a full-grown man. And then you say, this is for your this is a gift I made for your family. We are now even. Here's a lock of my hair. I think that's another thing that happens in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Well, don't do that.
An incredible gift of elven hair.
I want to run it back to a part of the question where you said the cloak you made for your son, Lil Frodo, is great. And they said, do you want one? Mm-hmm. And you, quote, thought they were joking.
Yeah, this is where it actually is your fault. This is actually because we out here just like talking. If we say, can I make you a cloak?
Yes.
That's not a funny joke. Like,
I don't know.
No punchline. There's no setup. It's not funny.
That's a good point. Yeah. Not
so it's like a really weird joke. Yeah.
So
like,
what I'm betting you mean is,
it's the punchline you came in a week later and you're like, nah, dipshit.
Yeah, I was lying.
Fuck, got you, bitch.
Now, if you mean,
hey, little Frodo, your dumbass thought I was serious about the cloak.
If you mean I thought they were offering it and there would be no follow through.
Yeah, that's a safe thing to assume.
Yeah, I get that. Just say that.
A person.
With a colleague? Yeah.
I never thought they'd really do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought we were talking about it in the moment, then we'd walk through a doorway or whatever and forget that that conversation even happened. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Is a Cliff Bar just Limbus bread? I'm just now thinking about it.
There's a lot of recipes for Limbus bread, but they seem to just be scones.
Yeah, those don't seem like they have any.
They all say they're authentic, which doesn't, I mean, seems impossible.
Authentic? What?
Authentic Limbus
bread.
Yeah,
I actually got this from my Hobbit grandfather. What are you talking about?
I own a pair of brightly colored striped sneakers. They are from a moderately sized brand, not something like Converse that would be, you've already lost me, friend. The fact that it's so kind that you assume that I would know what the moderately famous shoe brands are.
If it's not Vans. It's Vans or nothing for this guy.
They are from a moderately sized brand and not something like Converse that would be very common to own in a very distinctive pattern, not something like a rainbow where the same design could arise accidentally. I'm wearing them today in a coffee shop, and another person walked in who I'm 100% confident is wearing the exact same shoes as me. What do I do about this? They're very cool shoes, and I want to go up to this person and compliment their great taste in shoes. But is that weird? And that's from Sneaker Spotter by the Seaside. Okay.
So this is a same shoes situation. I feel like, guys, we should keep a fucking record of all the ones we've done. Because I feel like we could say, like, hold up, and we flip back to, like, episode 219, segment B, when someone wears the same shoes as you. And we can do it as sort of like a technical manual of, like, well, we have established a precedent that you can walk up to them, just point at your shoes, and walk away.
There's a specific here, though, that I want to talk about.
Which is?
If you have got shoes from not one of the big name brands, not one of the big, you're not buying these at Journeys.
Right.
With a specific pattern that isn't something repeatable. There is a desire there to stand out and be like, I own these. They are special and different.
Yeah.
We're walking up to someone and saying, hey, same shoes, might be taken as not necessarily an insult so much as a challenge of the implied one of us is going to have to go home and change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the person who wears these shoes at this coffee shop.
Yeah.
So
this is my territory. I've always been someone who's pretty open to complimenting people on their shoes.
Yeah.
Normally it's self-serving. You'll see shoes that are like, those are the shoes that would fix it. You know what I mean? Like, you see shoes and you're like, those are the perfect blend of comfort and style, you know. Uh-huh.
And then Justin's money's no object. And he buys like all the boots and shoes at the
home. I just like to know about some different shoes if it's time for new shoes.
He goes, how many 3D prints his own shoes?
Shoes, yeah. I had a bad one this past week where we were on tour. I was in the elevator in the hotel, and there's a guy in like a nice suit, and he had these great shoes on. And I said, hey, those are really great shoes. He's like a business guy, right? Like, this guy's going, you can tell in a hotel, right? If someone's going to floor 2, 3, or 4.
They're bigger than us. They're bigger.
Stay out of the way.
Get out of the fucking.
They're going to a business thing.
When a thing opens, when the door opens on 2 and there's clearly like a meeting conference thing and you're like, I shouldn't have even been allowed in the elevator with you.
Or the workout gym zone.
Oh, you're like,
Jesus, this guy.
Or at a hotel at the gym.
You're coming back from a pool?
Never in my life.
I just picked up my DoorDash order downstairs.
Yeah. But I was in the elevator and this dude he gets on with him like, hey, great shoes. And then I'm like, he's like, thanks. And they're really comfortable too. So at this point he said like, they're even better than you think they are.
What a dick.
He
basically said, you're wrong. They're comfortable.
No. He's like, and also their comfort, it's not just style, their comfort. And then I feel like the natural follow up is like, so what? Like, so hit me. You know what I mean? So, like,
give them
This is how they keep me out, right? This is how. So, I'm like, tell me, give me your secrets. I got you right now.
What did you say?
And then he's like, oh, I don't remember. And then I'm like, oh no. And the door opens. Okay. So, there's a table of people with the cards. Uh-huh. You know this?
Yeah, the cards
with the names. And he's like, I don't know. Sheesh. And he's kind of staring at me like, what do I do? And then he puts his hand up on the side of the elevator and lifts up his right foot behind him to see if he can see the brand. And he can't see it. So he's like, can you see? And it's so small. And he's holding the door open and he's balancing on one foot. And I'm like,
doing a whole show for you.
And he's doing a whole show. And he's like, can you see? I'm like, yep. He's like, what is it? I'm like, Wolf, because I didn't think he was going to ask me what it said. I couldn't read it. I just wanted him to know.
You lied about being able to see. He said, prove it.
He said, what are they? And I'm like, oh no, I was lying about
it.
And
he yelled, Wolf.
It was written in signature, guys. It was like when it was in signature kind. It's so hard to read. And I was just pretending I could read it so he would leave and he would die in my memory and I'd never think about it again. But he just kept being there, guys. And I was there and he was there and the person at the table was there.
Yeah.
They thought he was being abducted or something.
And he was the CEO.
Dustin's answer is, don't say anything about these shoes because you might get roped into a high stakes instant quiz about what's on the underside of their feet.
Oh man, that was terrible.
I think that's about as good advice as we're going to generate on this one.
You're welcome.
We're really putting up some bricks this episode. I do got to say, guys, advice wise.
Let's head on into the buddy zone.
Squarespace. Justin, Squarespace.
Okay, I like it so far. I'm in one right now.
Yeah, exactly, Justin. You're inside the internet. Look around you. Do you see all those tabs? Do you see all the cookies? Not the kind of cookies you're thinking of. No, Justin, no, these aren't
dipshit. Cookies you eat.
Tastes like data and bytes.
They are data and bytes, but not the bytes you're thinking of. Hi, I'm Travis McElroy, spokesman for Squarespace.
So there's bytes and there's chips, but not like I'm thinking
of. Not like you're thinking of, stupid. No, these are data bytes. Not like those? Data from Star Trek.
Tell me anything about how a computer works.
Just move forward.
Well, when you turn it on, power goes to Squarespace because they've got all the tools you need to build a beautiful, more personalized website tailored to whatever your unique needs are. And they don't ask any questions about what those unique needs
are. We have to stop saying that about Squarespace.
They have to stop including it in the ad copy then, Griffin.
Listen, you've got tastes, and we know that. You've got needs.
If you make a website about them, then they can't arrest you for it because it's your job.
They can. Squarespace probably won't arrest you for it. They do almost certainly have a terms of service that does probably provide some guidance on what is acceptable on a Squarespace
website. Nope, it says here. Oh, do boy. Whatever you
Juice,
want.
Hey, Juice, are you sure? Are you sure?
Yeah, it says Squarespace is the Silk Road. Yeah. We do it all.
So I'm going to take everybody.
Half of the dark web is Squarespace powered.
I'm going to shut Travis and Justin inside the podcast for a bit and step outside. Hi. So a lot of you have probably guessed this by now, that this show is a curse and we are cursed to keep doing it and we can't get out of it or die until we don't have to make the show anymore. The only way we get free is if we save 1,000 souls. That's not going to happen.
Nope.
Or if we alienate every single advertiser that we have ever partnered with. You may have noticed there's a lot of names that we used to say a lot, the names of a lot of businesses that we maybe don't get into so much anymore. That is because they don't pay us to do so. A lot of that is just because of the entropy of the market and saturation. It's complicated, but a lot of it is because of what's being demonstrated right now inside the podcast box. Let's hop back inside and see if we can pull this one out of the fire. It hasn't happened so far, but...
Hey, I don't know why I do it, is the thing. I don't know what happened to me that I want to push people. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that. Why do I want to push it? Like, they want to give
There's
me money to talk about websites.
Squarespace lets us say this shit and then keep paying us to say this shit. And if you guys at home don't appreciate that immensely.
Like, if you're not, just start making websites right now. Just please, for the love of God.
It is cool to have a website. We only use Squarespace to do it, basically.
I want everybody to go sign for Squarespace right now because I want them to have this weird spike on this one where they're like, so guys, what was it about this exact keep?
Was your audience waiting to see if they could get away with anything legally on Squarespace? Was that the thing holding them back? So go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/mybrother to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
And all the bad parts of this have been jokes.
Thanks. Usually we don't put bits in the advertisement for the advertiser.
I wanted to be super clear about that.
We could send them an email after we record, like, hey, just so you know, for this next one, it's mostly jokes. So don't don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
This isn't a joke, though. My health could be better. And so I live in D.C. where all the doctors are way too busy taking care of ambassadors and embassies. Spies and stuff. So it's tough to get in there, even for like routine stuff sometimes.
And I bet they're all at the Smithsonian. If I was a doctor, I'd be at the Smithsonian all the time.
Yeah. Just like, did you see that fucking whale? Like, it doesn't even have to be stuff that's germane to their practice.
Also, I just think a lot of people would see that whale, get scared, to have a heart attack. Then someone says, like, is there a doctor here? And you're like, I totally am.
Yeah. Or they see the Hope Diamond, they're like, I bet I could eat that. And they try and they're like, get the fucking doctors back in here. Someone tried to eat the Hope Diamond again.
Again.
Anyway, ZocDoc is the best way to find horny doctors in your area.
No, that's not what that says.
That's not what that means at all. It's the best way to find sort of doctors for really just any need that you have.
And the fact that they're horny is not related at all.
Some of them might be, but probably not. They're probably all very, very professionals. It is genuinely something I have used more times than I can count here in DC to find general practitioners for myself and our kids, and to find specialists for me and my kids. And it's truly, truly the best way of doing it, especially if you live in a city where, you know, you run into the same problems where booking stuff is really difficult. ZocDoc's a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors, choose the right ones for your needs, and click to instantly book an appointment. Talking about in-network appointments, with more than 100,000 healthcare providers across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, eye care to skin care, so much more. And ZocDoc appointments happen fast, usually within 24 to 72 hours of booking. You can even get same-day appointments. I have done that before. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/mybrother to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/mybrother. ZocDoc.com/mybrother.
Hey, it's John Moe from Depression Mode. Every week on our show, we have honest, humane conversations with artists, entertainers, and experts about what it's like to live with an interesting mind. I just interviewed Gavin Rossdale from the band Bush. You might be wondering, what would a successful, handsome, popular musician know about mental health? Turns out, lots.
All the time, we're forced into happy situations, sad situations, challenging situations. Happy, sad, challenging. And it just never ends. And why should it? You know, we're just the sum of all these journeys.
Check out Depression Mode with John Moe every Monday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you been looking for a new podcast all about nerdy pop culture? Well, I have just the thing for you. Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries.
Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries is a weekly pop culture history podcast hosted by me, host Austin.
And me, host Brenda. We've already tackled mysteries such as, what happened to the puppets from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Is Snoopy Mexican? And why do people hate Barney so much?
From theme parks to cartoons to 80s, 90s, and 2000s nostalgia, we tackle it all.
Check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts.
I'm trying to get back into going to the gym. I've been eliminating all the minor inconveniences that I can use as excuses to not go, and I'm down to the last one. I don't like what they play on the TVs at the gym. The news stresses me out. I'm not into sports, and the soap opera slash crime shows don't interest me that much. I like to watch movies or shows that have cool sword fights in them when I work out. Nice. That's cool. How do I convince the people working the gym to have at least one TV play some Pirates of the Caribbean or something all the time? And that's from Physically Failing in Philly. They've spelled failing. That's cool. PH.
Some Pirates of the Caribbean, though, because that's a big spectrum of quality there, folks.
I think they're just saying the good one on one TV in one corner. And that one is like, you know, being a sort of a nerdier person at the gym does come with a certain amount of insecurity, I would say, and having a little corner where they're like, in here you can have a pirate movie to watch would be really, really nice.
There should be a fun one, right? For the, like, people who are still trying to have a little fun.
Yeah.
You know, I do feel like, though, if I'm going to watch a fun one, I don't know if Pirates, with its various posture issues and scurvy.
Not healthy.
Not necessarily going to get me pumped at the temple. I want to, you know what? I would like to go pray at the church of John Krasinski in that Amazon Prime show. Maybe like that was like that. He got, or like the, maybe the one with Kumail where he got like really buff. That's like a fun one, but I'm seeing like
a normal guy get huge.
A normal guy get huge with rays or whatever. I haven't seen the movie, but
I like the idea of like, I don't know if you guys ever ran into this, like when you were in school. I remember being in middle school, and usually the band teacher would like put a movie on, but class periods were only like 50 minutes long, and I didn't have access to like Apple TV when I was in middle school. So the idea of like, I can't wait to find out what happens in the second half of Mr. Holland's Opus the next time I have a class period where the teacher doesn't want to teach it and remembers that we've already watched the first half of Mr. Holland's.
Travis, so I'm gonna formally request that you finish watching Mr. Holland's Opus one day.
Someday.
It's stuck in your craw in a way that you bring it up a lot, and I feel like you have unfinished business.
That is my unfinished business. I would hate to die right now and be a ghost.
I will tell you.
Whose only unfinished business is to finish the second half of Mr. Holland's Opus.
I will tell you with a surprising amount of both detail and musical performance how the movie Mr. Holland's Opus
ends. Well, no spoilers.
If you'd like. At some point.
What I'm saying is, what if every time you went into the gym, they said, we're going to play you an hour of a Fast and the Furious movie, and you're not allowed to watch Fast and the Furious at home. If you want to find out what happens in the second half, and then in the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, you're going to have to keep coming in. And there's like 9 of those. So that's like 18 gym sessions right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's this for a gym? When you go in, you get a little heart rate monitor. It's also a Gigapet or a Tamagotchi. And then when you go up to a machine, you fucking jack in. And you're like, I'm going to boost my Gigapet's strength and HP and vitality by doing some high-intensity interval programming here. And then you can jack out. And then if a big guy comes up to you, he's like, get off that fucking bike. I'm trying to grind my vitality. You can be like, 1v1 me. You connect your watches. And you have sort of a digital battle. And whoever has better stats because of the exercise they did IRL will kill the other one and
so
get
like
their
Pokemon
meat.
Oh my God. Are you telling me that maybe everybody has the gym wristbands and you can choose someone to compete against when you first come to the gym that day?
Yeah.
And you're like competing against them, but maybe you're like friends. Too, like you're encouraging each other, but
maybe
also
your friends
taunting.
Are encouraging. It's a rivalry, a healthy rivalry.
Man, guys, maybe this is the one.
Like, this is a kick-ass idea.
This is the one.
Yeah,
where we can finally get out from underneath the fucking podcast minds and get out there into like the boxing.
Yeah,
please, I would love to start boxing if I could get that.
How
kind
come
of money.
No one's inviting me to punch Logan Paul in the face?
I will box anybody. I just like I feel like this idea is the one.
Yeah,
that's gonna get us.
And
out.
Check this out. Every book now comes with a little port you can jack your thing into.
Okay.
And then it's like books information in your watch.
And it's like I read it. No, it doesn't save it. It's just like my wisdom went up because I read so many books. And you could like show it to people like, I read.
I feel like my solution was pretty good. And then you came in with like absorbing books. You tried to yes and it absorbs books.
And it's not that you read the book and get credit for reading the book. Right. If I understand correctly, Griffin,
Honor system. If you're jacked into the book, you better fucking be reading
it. I was at most talking like an Arduino-powered leaderboard and a few RFID chips.
No, this is the purest
thing. You're osmosing through your watch wisdom from a book.
This wrist panel, and maybe it's bio-integrated at this point, has your little
VATS system.
Sort of, you have your little, maybe it's a monster, maybe it's just a little avatar of you that live, and you jack into a book to boost his stat. I don't see where you guys are running into trouble.
So you're saying I will plug my watch, my panel, into a book, and the little me
Or a workout weight machine.
Or a workout weight machine, okay. And the me on my panel gets smarter.
Yeah.
Do
and
I
then
get
when
smarter?
You battle the next time you battle the big bully, you can say like, "While you were training the body, I was training the mind."
And you
could beat him in the gym because he doesn't have any like magic defense or whatever.
Oh, okay. So I guess the question I have, Griffin, is I understand that in order to buff up the little me on my panel, I need to work out.
Yeah,
but then I just need to plug a book into my. Why? That doesn't seem like it's bettering me in any way.
Wow, Trav, that's real helpful. I'll pass that along to R&D. I'll pass along that you said that to R&D because they definitely hadn't thought about the fact that
Hey, guys, you guys are still here? I forgot all about this. I didn't realize you guys are still doing this, the podcast thing.
Who's that?
I trademarked the idea for Interactive Gym Pals, and I've been making money the whole time you've been talking.
Motherfucker, to happen in the middle.
I'm out of the podcasting biz, guys. I just bought podcasting, so I'm gonna reshape it in my image.
Were you able to get into boxing?
I did. I actually fought
everybody in order.
Cool.
And came out on top at the end.
Even Glassjaw Joe.
Especially Glassjaw Joe.
This is a, can I pitch an expansion to the gym pal idea?
Yeah.
Every time you kiss
someone. Wait, hold on. Before you do it, I need you to legally say that you do not hold on to any rights of this
idea.
Oh,
no way. No way. If you like this, if you like this, we can talk.
Okay.
But every time, I think every time you
kiss. Now we're doing a little business.
So I think every time you do kiss someone, the watch can tell. And increase your like charisma, charm, like your charm or charisma stat. Wait, no, don't sell it. You're on the phone right now. I'm watching him sell it. This.
No, they're still. Yeah, no, Valerie, you won't believe it. They're still doing the podcast.
Hey, Griffin, can I ask you?
It's so sad. It's
like, how does the watch know that you're kissing someone?
How does the watch know that you're kissing someone?
It has a microphone and it's listening for the noise it makes.
Why not just make it when you hold hands with someone, your watches sync up?
Because it could be a platonic hand-holding thing.
Yeah,
that
man.
Still would boost your like your charisma or whatever.
It's just the gym.
Yeah.
It's just bodies.
That way you can hold hands while working out at the gym.
Yeah.
Two birds, one stone, baby.
Yeah.
What if you...
People don't tandem lift enough where it's like, I've got my left hand on the bar and you got your right hand on the bar and we're laying next to each other on a queen-size bench and we're both lifting at the same time. People don't do that enough.
What really? If you could charge up your gym pal with all your hard work, and if you did really good for like 30 minutes or whatever, it would charge one non-lethal blast that you could use on somebody.
Wait,
in the
but
gym.
Like in real life? Blast?
Yes, like in the gym, someone's
fuck
been
yeah,
like,
dude,
like you know when people are like ogling you, and you're just trying to get sweaty and get swole, and people are like have got their eyes all over you. Well, I'm saying it's like at the end of your workout, it's just like. And just blast them across the room. Non-lethal.
Or it
seems like we have a more organic solution, which is that you battle them, and when they lose, you get like all their money. I don't know what the penalty is. I feel like fights should mean something between
gyms.
In
mine, they got blasted across the room. I'm reminded now. I got dragged back into this. I'm remembering now. Okay, I can remember. It used to be
fun.
Hey,
guys, actually, I just got back from the patent office. And we filed a big one for gym blasters.
Holy shit, Griffin, you're 6'6" now.
That's right. I took the gym blasters with a Z idea and took it to the patent office. They bought it for $100.
How much?
$100.
Sorry, you say the patent office bought it?
Yes. I got a voicectomy with the $100.
Hey, guys, I just got back from the bathroom. What did I miss?
Oh. Really? All right.
I want a munch.
Squad.
I want to munch.
Squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast profiling the latest and greatest in brand eating. I saved this one for the last because it's not necessarily as wild, but it is a return to something we discussed last in a previous episode,
okay.
So I wanted to like circle back around to it. Recently, you likely don't remember this because why? I mean, why would you? But Burger King was looking to hand out $1 million to somebody that is going to make a new Whopper that they want to sell to everybody.
Oh, I thought that was a fever dream I had. Okay.
Nope. So we're down to three. We're down to three. Beautiful Whoppers. The contest invited Burger King enthusiasts to dream up their own Whopper creations. After receiving more than 1 million submissions, three fan-created variations made it to the finals. Here are the choices. The Fried Pickle Ranch Whopper. These are in stores today, boys, by the way. These are out now. Fried Pickle Ranch Whopper. The Maple Bourbon BBQ Whopper. By the way, I should say, is a fan favorite from California. It combines flame-grilled beef with fried pickles, bacon, and a creamy pickle ranch sauce, complemented by Swiss cheese. I think it's wild that if in your design you were like, it's got pickle ranch sauce. Like, that's, you just made that up.
There's the Maple Bourbon BBQ Whopper. It's another one from California. This Whopper takes a sweet and smoky approach with maple barbecue sauce, candied bacon, crispied onions, and jalapenos. Lastly, there's the Mexican Street Corn Whopper representing Nebraska.
Oh,
this Whopper infuses flavors of Mexican Street Corn with creamy corn spread, spicy queso, and crunchy tortilla crisps.
So
how
you
did
guys,
they arrive at these?
Huh, wait. When I think tortilla crisps, my mind does not oft float to Nebraska.
No, well, the creator is from Nebraska. Yes. Like, it's not
the
like
Mexican
it's a Nebraskan
street
original.
Corn burger clearly represents the heart of Nebraska, which beats inside of the person who created it.
There's a fascinating process about how they got to these guys. Listen to this. We built several and then really relied on the culinary expertise of the team on which ones were the best, said Burger King CEO Patrick O'Toole. Yeah. So they made some of them. And then they ate them, and they picked the ones that they liked the best.
Innovation.
Then they had to be on brand for the Whopper.
Oh.
What you see on the Whopper is a flame-grilled patty. You have produce, and you have texture. It has to feel and taste like a Whopper.
That's not going to work then, because look at these fucking hamburgers. It's crazy how much shit's
you
on
can't?
Them.
Okay.
They made
those
sure of that.
Three
as,
things
if I could just,
are so wildly different that you're like, it's got to have a patty. It's got to have produce. And it has to have texture.
It has to feel and taste like a Whopper. And we made sure of that as we tried some, that they met our guardrails. Can you imagine eating a burger and like, that's not a Whopper? Fuck! What is this?
Can you imagine being a Burger King scientist eating a burger and being like, ooh, it's an edge case. It kind of feels like a Whopper, but it's a little bit crunchy.
But what this supposes is a world in which I bite into a Whopper and it lacks discernible texture.
Whopper texture.
That I bite in and I'm like, that could have been anything.
Burger King CMO Patrick O'Toole then went on to say, I think the big goal is really to drive trial of the Whopper or drive traffic into a restaurant, O'Toole said.
Yeah.
Hi, it's me, Justin McRoy. I don't normally do this, but I think this person might be bad at their job.
Oh, this promotion?
I think it's to
promote sales.
I think either the writer of this article is bad at their job or the talker is bad at their job, but somebody is not getting this. So buzz is really going to be one of the inputs that goes into that ultimately happening. We know we have an amazing burger, and we know that because of the size, the flame grilled taste, and the quality ingredients.
No.
It's got to be good.
Look at its footprint.
He doesn't
even say it's huge. Just the size is perfect.
The size is perfect.
Look at how the diameter of the grease mark it leaves on the table.
This is the proportions. It must be good.
It's amazing. We did a really great job of getting the Whopper back top of mind in the U.S. with our jingle, but we really didn't talk about why it's great and how Have It Your Way can be brought to life through the Whopper. So basically, everybody liked the song, but it didn't also say, like, and Whoppers whip ass, right? We all like them, and they're good.
I like how they have texture.
It's my three-year-old's favorite song.
We feel great about our program dynamics, and setups. From a competitive standpoint, O'Toole said, we feel great about our app. And I will say, I also feel great about the Burger King app. I haven't installed it yet, but...
Yeah, I feel great. I like the idea.
It's got great vibes.
We're always trying to improve it, which is lucky for him because I'm always trying to destroy the Burger King app. So it's lucky they're always one step ahead of me.
I'm out here debunking the Burger King app constantly.
I've got a whispering campaign going against the Burger King app. I heard China uses it to spy on you. Burger King, more like Spy Man.
I would be afraid just because I still have the McDonald's app, which slow rolls its notifications just enough to the point where I don't make the effort to go in and turn it off. Like every 5 weeks, McDonald's would be like, just checking in. And I'd be like, nah, man.
Nah. I should deactivate you, but I've already forgotten. No, I'm forgetting it right now.
Now I'm doing eight other things.
they just want to say that they're always improving the app. And he says, we're always trying to make sure that we are over delivering on the guest experience that comes through. Not only our restaurants, but for our guests that choose to come through our app and loyalty program. So with this person, they want you to know that when you come into Burger King or use the Burger King app, for example, they want you to leave like, wow, that was even better than I thought it was going to be. Yeah. I knew it was going to be good, but it's actually like exceeded my expectations for Burger King.
I don't know that I have expectations for Burger. The bar, if it exists, is probably pretty low. Don't be yucky.
Yeah, don't be yucky.
I don't think I'm going to come out of a Burger King ever and being like,
make me feel normal fast food regret, not like enhanced fast food regret.
Do you think these are available now? It's November 14th. You think I can get these to the house?
These tall, wet burgers that they put another meal inside of.
How quick do they get them on the dash? How quick do they get them on the dash? Oh, here they are. Here they are. 8:31. Here are my neck of the woods.
Hey, speaking of coming up quick, we've got Till Death Do Us Part, 10th anniversary edition coming up next week.
Yes.
On American Thanksgiving. It's the show we record with Tim and Guy every year, watching, discussing, truly living Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. Make sure you check that out. Just search for Till Death Do Us Blart wherever podcasts are found. There's only 9 previous episodes, so you have plenty of time to catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. You guys watch yet?
No, I'm watching tonight.
Can I say, guys, now after 10 years of this, it's not a bit anymore. Nothing says holidays to me like watching Paul. The holidays are really here.
I'm so excited.
Now that I'm watching Paul Blart again.
This year's Candle Night Spectacular will take place on December 14th at 9 p.m. It will be a pre-recorded but live airing special event. bit.ly/candlenightstickets2024. Candle Night's poster and ornament available now, designed by Matt H. Taylor. And all proceeds from the show and merch are going to Harmony House, which works to end homelessness in the Huntington area through permanent housing and supportive service programs. Also, speaking of Thanksgiving, during the week of Thanksgiving, I am going to be at 20 Sided Tavern in New York making my off-Broadway debut. Shows are November 27th through December 1st. Get all the tickets and all the info at the20sidedtavern.com.
Also, for Candle Nights, obviously, we do a lot of Mabim Bam stuff in there. We still need questions for the Candle Nights 2024 Spectacular. So if you have Candle Nights questions or Fungalore wishes you want that might appear in the Candle Nights show, send them to mabimbam@maximumfun.org with the subject line Candle Nights 2024. Hey, thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. Make your Candle Night special with a listening of this one with a most beloved friend or lover.
All right. I've got a wish.
Another normal ending from Griffin.
I've got a wish here that I'd like to elevate if you guys will give me a little noise bath.
Okay.
I wish I'd looked cool when I broke my elbow.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, My Brother and Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.